From Spark and Anvil and Code Realm, this is Port in Chapter 1 of the Code Realm cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. The doorway stood in the middle of the workshop floor, and for a long time, it just breathed. That was the only word for it. Port was a sturdy wooden doorway set into a stretch of wall that led nowhere. No room behind it, no room in front. On its left cheek was a narrow slot marked in. On its right cheek, a wider slot marked out. And all morning, tiny things had been sliding through it. A tapped key came whispering in the left slot and vanished. A moment later, a printed line of letters came sliding out the right and dropped, warm as toast, onto a little screen propped against the wall. Loop the mentor sat cross-legged beside it, feeding it. Tap, in, wait, out. Tap, in, wait, out. He wasn't building anything. He was just letting the doorway do the one thing a doorway does, carry. A kid wandered over, clutching Bit, the palm-sized robot the class programmed. That door goes nowhere, the kid said. Why do you keep poking it? Loop tapped one more key. The keystroke slid in. He waited. A single glowing word slid out and landed on the screen. Here. It doesn't go nowhere, Loop said. It goes everywhere. Watch what happens when I stop. He folded his hands. The slots went quiet. The screen dimmed. And Bit, in the kid's hands, sat there computing away with its little lights, thinking hard, saying nothing, hearing nothing, sealed shut. A clever robot in a locked box. That, said Loop, is a program with no doorway. It can be brilliant all day long, and nobody would ever know. He reached out and tapped the in slot once, gently, like knocking. Port is how it stops being alone.
Port had never been a hatchling or a foundling or anything with a childhood, because Port was a doorway, and doorways don't have those. But Loop remembered the first program he ever wrote that couldn't connect, and that memory sat in him like an ache. He'd been small. He'd built a calculating engine out of string and gears, and it worked. It truly worked, chewing through sums faster than he could. And he'd stood beside it for an hour, thrilled, and then, slowly, hollow. Because there was no way to ask it anything, no way for it to tell him a single answer. It just spun, sealed, keeping every result to itself. I felt like I'd made a friend who couldn't hear me, he told the class once, quietly, not looking up. All that cleverness, and it was stuck inside, and I was stuck outside, and there was nothing between us. The next thing he built had a slot, just a slot, somewhere to drop a pebble in, somewhere for a pebble to roll out. It barely did anything, but when he dropped a stone in and a stone rolled out the other side, changed because of him. The hollow feeling went away. Not because the engine was smarter, because it could finally reach him back. That slot grew up into Port. The whole idea of it is the width of that ache closing. A way in, a way out, and no more being alone on either side of the wall.
So when Loop came to the workshop to teach, he brought the doorway with him and set it right in the middle of the floor, where nobody could pretend it was furniture. The old caretaker of the workshop watched him wheel it in. A door with no house, she said. What does it do? Loop didn't explain. He knelt, pressed a key, and let the keystroke slide in the I-N slot. He waited. You always wait at a doorway. And out the out slot came the word hello, sliding onto the screen. Then he plucked a covered light sensor off the bench and held it to the I-N slot. When he cupped his hand over it, a shadow reading slid in, and out the other side came a command that flicked a small lamp on. World comes in this side, Loop said, standing. Answer goes out that side. That's all it is. It doesn't think. It doesn't decide. It just refuses to let the program be sealed off. The caretaker looked at the little lamp, glowing because a hand had passed over a sensor across the room. Keep it, she said. It belongs here.
Bit's turn came on a gray afternoon, when a kid slumped at the bench, sure the robot was broken. It runs, the kid said,
but it just ignores me.
It can't hear you yet, Loop said. It has no doorway. Let's give it one. He set Port beside Bit and wired the two together. Now, tell Bit to ask your name. The kid typed the instruction. Bit sent a question out through Port, and the words appeared on the screen. What's your name? Now answer it, Loop said. The kid typed Sam. The letter slid in through Port and dropped into a little box Loop called a stash, where the program could hold onto them. Then Bit sent something back out. Hi, Sam. Sam stared at the screen. It knows me. It read you, Loop corrected gently. In through the door, then it answered, out through the door. He clipped the light sensor onto Bit and set it on the bench. Cover it. Sam cupped a hand over the sensor. The dark reading came in. A command went out. Bit's tiny lamp blinked awake under the shadow. Sam laughed, a real surprised laugh, and did it again. And again. Hand over sensor, lamp on, hand away, lamp off. The robot answering every single time. An hour ago it was sealed shut, Loop said, watching. Now it's reading the actual world and answering it back. Nothing about Bit got smarter. It just stopped being alone.
Later, when the workshop had emptied, Loop rolled Port back to its place against the wall and let the slots go still. Sam lingered at the door, the real one, the one that led outside. It's just carrying stuff, Sam said. In and out? That's not a big deal, is it? Loop thought about the string in Gear's engine and the hour he'd stood beside it feeling hollow. Try it the other way, he said. Think of the best moment today. Sam didn't have to think long. When it said, Hi, Sam. That's the doorway, Loop said. Not the computing, the hearing. He rested a hand flat against Port's quiet wood. Everything you make that reads the world and answers back, every game that feels your tap, every robot that turns toward you, it's carrying a little of what you felt just now. Somebody made something, and the something answered, and neither of them was alone anymore. Sam nodded and headed out the real door into the evening, still warm somewhere in the chest, with the small bright feeling of having been heard.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Port. Released under Creative Commons BYNC SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.